Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Dave Moore on Today FM.
I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. I'm like a little bit tired. I'm kind of just coming off the back of finishing my US theatre tour. And then it was my birthday on the weekend. So,
belated happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Did you do anything interesting and nice?
I went for like a really small dinner with some friends, and then I went to the country for a couple of days and just switched my phone off and read some books by the fire.
You can't argue with that. That is a fantastic
rock and roll.
The best kind of birthday, I think. Listen, I was going to ask that question as to how you are in, I guess, in a general sense, because we all kind of, you know, got to experience a very public, you know, difficult time for you that you've encapsulated beautifully in this record, but it seems like you're doing great. Like, am I right about that?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, I can complain.
You can,
and
of course.
I do sometimes. but for the most part, you know, I'm pretty overwhelmed. You know, I was like, spent the last 5-6 years, you know, sort of tootling away and like making music, but I had kind of like made peace with the fact that, you know, I wasn't going to get played on the radio anymore, and I was going to, you know, maybe like write songs for other people. And then, you know, this thing came out of me, and it was so well received, but so unexpected. And, you know, I've just been reacting to that ever since, really. And it's great. It's amazing, but it's overwhelming, you know.
That's interesting you use that word, because that's kind of from the outside looking in. I would imagine that's probably how it feels, but I didn't know. Maybe you had, you know, superpowers and you're just cool with all this. But it would feel like it would be overwhelming to have this reaction to something that has, as you said, has been so long in coming.
Yeah,
you know,
it's funny because, you know, it feels like a sort of weird overnight success thing that people use that phrase and that terminology when I first came along like 20 years ago. So I feel like I went into like a hibernation period, and I was not unhappy, you know, with where I was. I was happy with everything that I'd achieved and that I'd done. But I just sort of like made peace with the fact that I was in a different stage of my life. And then this happened, and then I'm playing these amazing venues, and you know, I'm just getting used to the idea.
Yeah, you had a different, quieter existence maybe planned, and all of a sudden you're on stage in the Three Arena 2 nights in a row in July.
It's crazy.
It's amazing.
It really is
crazy. Can you talk about the physical creation of this music? And like, because I've heard so many things. I've heard that you did it in a really kind of intense short period of time. I've heard that you wrote song titles before you wrote the songs. Is any of that true?
Yeah, well, I was in New York. I lived in New York up until quite recently. Mm-hmm. But I had booked in these like 10 days in the studio with Blue May, who, you know, produced the record. But we'd had these 10 days booked in for like a couple of months.
Okay.
And the, you know, things that happened in my life that informed the record and inspired the record hadn't happened yet.
When I'd
booked the,
okay,
the sessions.
Wow.
So yeah, there was no intention behind it. And it was like, oh, you know, in November, I'm going to LA for 10 days to try and write some songs. And then, you know, my life changed and I was in LA and I was like, this stuff just like poured out. And it was pretty much done, you know, in those 10 days. I mean, we did a couple of days extra. We came back in January and did some more of last year. But for the most part, yeah, the bulk of it was all done over a period of 10 days. And yes, I did write all of the song titles, but it was the night before the session started.
The night before the session started. Wow.
Yeah, it was very quick.
I don't think people understand how quick, you know, 10 days plus a couple of other days is to create a work like this. Like, that is incredible.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you know, it happens for different people in different ways. And some people, you know, spend a year or 2 years making these like magnum opuses, and like, who's to say like what's better and what's worse. But I just feel like this, sometimes you just like vomit like material out, and it just feels like truthful and real. And for me, that's always like the metric that I judge things by, is like, if I believe it and I feel like I have written something succinctly enough that it makes sense to my own like lived experience, and I want to listen to it when I've left the studio, then I know not necessarily that it's good, but that it's something that I'm willing to share with other people.
Okay.
For the most part, I would say like 90% of the stuff that I write never ever gets played after I leave the studio ever again,
because, you know,
those digital files never
need.
Even
yeah.
get opened,
right.
And I'm sure some people would think that they're quite good, but it's if I don't feel like it's good and yeah. that it's true and that it makes sense, then it doesn't see the light of day.
And then when you create a work like this and then it needs to go to stage because of the popularity, because of the demand that there is for you to now perform this kind of thing, how do you go about translating something that occurred in those 10 plus 2 days or whatever it is, you know, that has become this album that you then need to take to the stage? And you haven't even taken to the stage in a traditional way doing that. You've also kind of reinvented what this show is.
Yeah, I mean, I was really lucky in that when I was, you know, I got we figured out a date that we wanted to release things by, like in the sort of summer of last year. And at the time I was doing a play in Bath called Hedda Gabler. It's, you know, this sort of classic play.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman that was doing all of the set design and the stage design is this woman called Anna Fleischer, and I've done three plays before, and she's always been the set designer.
Oh, cool.
on all three of them.
Right.
So we're quite close, and I hadn't really played the record to that many people, but she was one of the people that I trusted with it, and I just played it to her, and I was like, oh, do you think you could help me figure out not even how to present it live, but like, I thought maybe I might be doing a couple of TV appearances.
Sure, of
or
course.
Something and
yeah.
so it was like, you know, how would I present this song? If this was going to be the single, like, what would you? And she just took with it and ran and came up with this, what I think is an incredible concept. And I don't want to give too much of it
Please
away
don't.
Because
yeah.
I think, you know, it's a real journey and a real experience. And it is quite different. You know, it's not your average pop show. It's like immersive and... yeah, I don't want to say too much, but it's beautifully, beautifully executed by Anna and myself. You
and
know,
yourself,
a few of my
absolutely.
Ideas in there
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
And but it's yeah, it feels very like contained in its own little world.
Okay.
And you feel like you're witnessing a woman losing her mind.
That's a perfect description of it.
And putting herself back together again. You know, you really come on a journey with me, and it's a real privilege to be able to get up on stage and do. Everyone that's been involved with this has put their heart and soul into it, and I feel like I am, you know, doing it justice. I'm sober. I've been sober for 8 years.
Congratulations.
So I've always cared about what I've done on stage, but I've never. Been as coherent as I am.
As you are now. Okay, that makes perfect sense. So there's talk of this becoming a West End show.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not you and Anna doing this show in the West End, is it? Or is that someone else is thinking of
a completely different thing.
Taking this story and turning it into a West End show. Does that
taking the music and the making
music.
A different story.
Oh, okay. Because that they were my questions. Yeah, it was like how what parts of your version of this or that's a new story.
It'll be a new story. Yeah.
Oh, wow. And is, without giving too much away, is the live show that we will see in July, is mm-hmm. there an element of because of where Anna's come from and where you and Anna have connected, is there an element of it being a little bit more like a theatrical performance than just a straight up pop show?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's certainly unlike anything that I've ever done before. If I had to, you know, equate it to something or compare it to something, I would say the, you know, three plays that I did, even though they weren't one woman plays,
sure.
It feels more like that. You know, it's it really is, you know, watching an unraveling happen. And I don't want to say it's like theatre because it is fun, but it's also not a musical. I can't really explain it. It's a whole new genre.
We have to go and see the new genre that Lily has invented and go along and see it in the Three Arena. Your Irish connection, did you go to school in Kildare? Is that true?
I went to school in Leixlip. Yeah,
in Leixlip? What?
Yeah.
When?
Yeah. I think it was just before my parents got divorced. So I think I must have been like 4 or 5.
Okay.
And I think I was there for a year or so. Yeah. My mum was making a film there called Hear My Song with Joseph Locke. And and we lived there because she would have to, you know, do all her pre-production. And then I think it got edited there and everything. So, yeah, we were at school there for a while.
It's so long ago. But I mean, do you have it? Like, are the memories of it fond? Did it seem like it was nice?
Do you know what? Because my parents were going through a divorce at the time, I do remember quite a lot.
and not the beautiful children of Leixlip.
If it had been any other part of my childhood, I'd probably be like, no, I don't remember any of it. But I actually do remember.
Right, okay.
They weren't happy memories. But I loved the school that I went to, and we lived in this like beautiful house, and we'd go on these long walks. And I remember there was like cows and horses and stuff that were all in the fields and in between the house that we lived in and the school that we went to. And we would walk across the fields every day to go to school. So I do remember it being like, you know, totally different experience to what I'd experienced before, which was like very central London, West End, upbringing. So yeah, it was a contrast. But it was really fun, you know. I was definitely out in the sticks and out in nature and playing with kids by the river, and yeah, it was great.
Brilliant.
It was great.
And performing here, do you, like a lot of people do say, you know, Irish audiences, they're great, blah blah blah. We hear it a lot, but sometimes I wonder, is it real? Or do you say the same about Belgian audiences and South Korean audiences? You
know, sometimes I don't really notice the difference, to be honest.
Doing your show.
No, I do. I totally notice the difference. I'd like to consider myself a pretty honest and open person. There are certain places that I get to when I'm on the road that it brings me joy, and there's an anticipation and an excitement when I get there, and that is Dublin, and also when I land in Australia and New Zealand and also Brazil. I think that those are the places that are like on the calendar as being like, oh, that'll be good.
Well,
they're like safe space.
Yes,
you know.
Yes, I know exactly what you mean. Well, we cannot wait. Tuesday the 30th of June, Wednesday the 1st of July. You will see Lily Allen's incredible show in the Three Arena. Get your tickets. Do not be disappointed. Lily, thank you so much for taking the time today and having a chat.
No,
really,
thank you
appreciate
for having
it.
Me.
All right, take care.
See you soon.
See you later. Bye.
Bye.
Dave Moore on Today FM.